Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark Millennial Ben. Presented by Brakes Plus. We're getting some really good suggestions for calling turf toe something else. Because Patrick Mahomes said he's ahead of his turf toe surgery. And I just think right. That you got to come up with something that sounds
tougher.
Because, and I'm not like somebody got all on me. If you've ever had turf toe, you know how painful and debilitating it can be. I know that. You know that. I'm just saying turf toe just doesn't sound that terrifying.
Right.
So we need another name for it that sort of expresses the gravitas.
Right.
Of the injury.
Right.
And how it feels. Somebody said Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, if you have the surgery, it's Tommy John.
Tommy John. Hey. We haven't come up with anything new for Tommy John, so why not Tommy John?
Something metatarsal. I mean, it's got to be. It's serious.
It needs to sound
right
bad. Because turf toe just doesn't sound bad. All right, here's my question. I'm coming up with a question today.
Okay.
Mark, what did you think of Dan Orlovsky's tweet in which he said, you don't draft a QB on production, you draft a QB on projection. Do you agree with that? Disagree? Is it surprising coming from a former quarterback?
No. It's not surprising at all because it's very much like the receiver position. There's a certain dependency upon what you have around you. And so what you have around you is phenomenal. It's through the roof good, right? And you're never really challenged. So, you know, I said this when I studied Matt Leinart years and years ago. I went to NFL Films and I spent a week just preparing for the draft. This is when I had a fairly prominent position at ESPN on draft, you know, during the draft coverage. So I went through and, you know, most of the stuff I did was O-line, D-line, line, front seven stuff. But I had so much USC, so much stuff on USC, right, to look at. So I probably looked at four games of Matt Leinart. And what Dan is saying is, listen, you can have a great, from a production standpoint, you can be unbelievably productive. This is one of the things I said about be careful about Baker Mayfield when he comes out. And then I got on the list, right? With Baker. But you have to be careful because Matt Leinart often would turn down a tough throw to throw behind the line of scrimmage to Reggie Bush. And he knew he was there. And then all of a sudden Reggie Bush would make three people miss and go 60 yards for a touchdown. So if you throw it, and I heard Dan talk about this morning, if you throw it for 300 yards, about 150 of yards of those productions and two touchdowns came on six screens behind line of scrimmage that you guys executed. Are you really good? Or were you 6 for 6 on behind the line of scrimmage throws that netted you 150 yards and two touchdowns? Can anybody do that? Do you have to have a great skill set to be able to do that? So the projection thing comes down for me is, How do you see a guy go through progression? How do you see a guy come off number one and get to number two? How do you see a guy throw it on time so that he's accurate? You know, I had this conversation with Bruce Gradkowski the other day. You remember him, quarterback, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, yep. Bounced around the league for a while. And it's the same conversation I have with my son all the time when it comes to throwers and pitchers. And the bottom line is, mechanically, as a football player, when you're on time, you are accurate. When you're late, your mechanics drop down. When you're late, your arm gets long. When you're late, you pull your head because you know inherently that you're late. So what do? You try to juice it up. You try to throw. There was, you remember when Paxton Lynch came out, and I know we've already smeared him, but remember everybody talking about big time arm strength and, oh man, he can really spin it. And then we'd watch him in practice and every ball fluttered. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Or they'd dive and we're like, why, where's that big arm?
Right. Because he's always late. So when you're late, you open up your shoulders, right? You open up your hips. Your arm gets long. You can't drive the football. You can't stay on top of it. You get underneath it and it flutters out of your hand. You can't put the energy that you normally would when you're on time and you can stay compact and you can stay behind the ball. And this is not, hey man, I'm not some quarterback guru. I just know throwing mostly because of my son. And I have been around big league pitchers and throwers since my son was a little boy, since he was 4 years old. And I understand better through baseball the mechanics of throwing a ball and how that relates to breakdowns in pitching can correlate to the breakdowns in football. Pitching, you just get ahead of your body. Your body gets ahead of your arm, excuse me. In football, you get ahead of your arm when you're late with the ball.
So how do you walk that line between production and projection? Because how many times do we talk about the draft and sometimes the crapshoot hit or miss nature of the draft and blame teams for getting caught up in combine results, the underwear Olympics that we joke about? Or how often do you hear that line? Boy, just put the tape on.
Right.
Just put the tape on and you can see he can play. Why don't more teams just go by the tape? All right, well, but yet against that backdrop, you got a guy like Orlovsky saying that when it comes to quarterbacks, you're not worried as much about production. You don't worry as much about what Mac Jones did in putting together one of the great statistical seasons ever by a college quarterback. You're more drawn to what Trey Lance might be able to do or what you project him to be able to do, even though there's no resume there whatsoever.
But see, you're looking at resume versus you're looking at production from a resume standpoint versus looking at tape production. And I think there's a distinct difference here. You can still see a guy, right, that has a lack of production on tape, but has all the attributes here, like, oh my gosh, this guy can let it rip. And so I think there's a fine line that you're skirting and fine line that you look at when you're watching film. And when you watch guys, like I can't remember, maybe it was John Lynch talking about Terrell Davis, who said, I don't know how you define a Hall of Famer, but when you see it on film, you just see it. You just can see it. And I think the really great evaluators, and there's more to it, right? You want to talk to guys. You want to understand their football knowledge. You want to try to get a feel for how, you know, just their work ethic and all those different things. But with that said, I still think that you put on the tape and there are just things that great football players do that are just, they just naturally do it. They're just great. You know, I tell this story all the time and, you know, it's in my wheelhouse because it's about my favorite subject, me. And I don't know why, Mike. I really don't. I don't know why. But from the very first time I put my hand in a 3-point stance, I could come off the ball. I could drive you off. It wasn't coached. I didn't know. My body just worked that way. It just made sense. And that was that. It's the way it was. And I was, you know, wiry. I was always strong, but wiry, you know, tall, skinny kid. essentially. But I could just, that part made sense. My hips and my feet and everything worked together in unison. Because when you're very much like throwing mechanics, when you're creating leverage, leverage isn't, you know, this is like people, oh, you got to stay low. Hey, really? No joke, right? Got to stay low.
You wanted to say something else.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Leverage is created through technique. It starts from your feet through your ankles to your knees to your hips. And it transfers from your lower body into your hands. And that's how you create leverage. It's the way leverage is created. You don't come off 8 inches lower. If you're both 6'6 or 6'3, you're not a foot lower than the other guy. See? That guy, the low man wins. No, you create it. And it's a technique like any other technique. And the same thing comes with, you know, throwing mechanics. And ultimately, it really comes down to how quickly you process and see the game. And the guys who process it and see it quickly at any position are always 100% without fail the best players.
Well, then
doesn't make them the best athletes. It makes them the best players.
Okay, then explain this to me then. Again, okay. Back to the Orlovsky line. You don't draft a quarterback on production. You draft a QB on projection.
Mm-hmm.
You look back over the last 20 years, quarterbacks taken in the top 10. Terrible results. It's a terrible track record. You are overwhelming majority going to end up with either a flat-out bust or just a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Those quarterbacks, and the list is long of quarterbacks that never lived up to their hype. What was it? Was it a case of those teams made a mistake because they were drawn by the production of what they saw from the guy? Or did they just overrate the projection?
Well, I mean, I think there's probably a little bit of both, but I think for the most part,
if you had to guess,
I think it's the first of the two. They get drawn in by the production.
They saw what Matt Leinart did in college,
correct,
and thought he'll produce like this in the pros.
Right. You see what a guy does, and again, this is why the evaluation process is so interesting. And so hard at the same time. What did I tell you when I said I looked at Zach Wilson? I really like Zach Wilson. What was my indicator more than anything else?
Refresh my memory. Okay.
I thought he drove the ball into tight windows.
Oh, that's guys right. That's covered. Right. Tight window throws. Yep.
Guys were covered.
Yep.
And people say, well, he didn't perform well against so and so, or he didn't, you know, he played a lesser competition. Yeah, well, he had lesser players around him. And you know what? He just fearless, on time, on target, just throwing dudes open. And I looked at that and I go, that translates better than, hey, your receiver for Clemson is 14 yards behind the closest. And I'm not saying Trevor Lawrence isn't projecting as great. I'm just telling you, like, I know one guy made a lot of tough throws. I mean, like, every game was littered with tough throws. I know another guy had two games that he had to make some tough throws in. And, again, that's where I would agree with Dan Orzlovsky.
Let's get to some text here. By the way, before we get to the text,
yeah,
we had a little experiment we were conducting here on your friendly neighborhood morning show.
Right.
Starting at 7 a.m.
Yes.
So we were lamenting the fact, some people call it whining. Some people call it sour grapes.
Right.
Some people call it thank you for sticking up for us. But the idea that Nikola Jokic went out last night and had just another, this is why he's the MVP type performance. And yet, ESPN going gaga over Steph Curry. Calling it their performance of the night.
Yes.
And reminding all of us that ESPN does not want Nikola Jokic to be the MVP. They may acknowledge he's the favorite in the clubhouse right now, but that doesn't mean they want him to be the MVP. They want somebody else to be the MVP just because Nikola Jokic highlights, the Nikola Jokic story doesn't fit
the way that ESPN tries to market. Notice I said market, not cover.
Yes.
Market the NBA.
Sure.
And it's kind of disgusting how blatant and obviously it is. To, I mean, all it takes is, you know, Joel Embiid has a good game. Oh, Joel Embiid's the MVP, contender.
Yeah.
Or now remember a couple weeks ago it was Chris Paul. You know, now it's Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of nauseating. So we had a little experiment. We started at 7 a.m. watching ESPN's coverage. They started 7 a.m., the A block, with about a 6-minute highlight package of Steph Curry.
Yes.
They then went to football, draft talk.
They went to Trey Lance's workout day, whatever it is.
And they talked about the possibility of New England moving up.
Mm-hmm.
Kept swinging through the hour.
Mm-hmm.
7:30, 7:35, still nothing.
Right.
Now we thought maybe by about 7:43, 7:47, we're getting into the D block, E block, you know, maybe they throw him a bone. Nope.
Right.
Swing it right into 8:00 and the start of.
Back to the NFL. They're talking about Mike Tomlin.
Stephen A.
First take.
They start with Curry again.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And now they're into Mike Tomlin, who, by the way, got a 3-year contract extension with us.
So
an hour and 15 minutes.
So most of these shows are on
nothing.
Most of these shows, just so you guys know, are on like an hour long cycle. That's kind of how it works, right? So you're doing an hour show and then you're kind of refreshing at the top and you're starting essentially with that basic same rundown. You may have a couple other topics in that. So that last hour of the Mike Greenberg show was, like you said, 6-7 minute Steph Curry highlight. And then it went all NFL after that. And now we've had the same thing. Steph Curry highlight to breaking news. Mike Tomlin signs a contract extension. We've been kind of just an impromptu survey, if you will. We've been taking this class as a survey and, an hour and 15 minutes in and not one mention of Nikola Jokic's night last night. Not one.
God, I hope he wins the MVP. God, I hope he wins the MVP.
Oh, they won't.
Just to see how
they react.
ESPN reacts and covers it.
Steph Curry screwed.
right. And I know. Easy from Parker. Quit bitching about ESPN. You both know it's about ratings of population in the larger cities. Yes. Congratulations. You just figured out the entire media coverage in the United States, all driven by agendas. Yes.
No, we get it.
Nothing gets MVP voters jazzed up like a 7-foot white guy doing a nice finger roll layup. I get it. And listen, it's not like I'm sitting here just like, oh my God. So you're telling me this is the way it's done? I know this is the way it's done. This is not a news flash to me. I told our listeners this
2 months ago, exactly this. I said, hey, man, Nikola Jokic has got to get loud on the court. He's got to make some loud highlights. And people want to argue with me.
You don't know what you're talking about. I was one of them that said, come on.
I know how TV works. Yeah, particularly that network. I only worked there for 16 years.
I guess I just like to think that, you know, you can still appreciate the game. Appreciate the nuance of the game. Appreciate the beauty of the game that is not necessarily played above the rim or 35 feet away from the rim, but is played on the floor around the rim. You know, or in his case, 25, 30 feet away. He could do it all. You know, and for people to say, well, what Steph Curry's doing is historic. Newsflash, what Nikola Jokic has been doing this year for a big man is historic. But,
Right? Well, Steph's doing stuff that's never been done before.
Yeah,
and what's your point?
I know. I shouldn't get upset about it, but
no. I mean, I get it. It you just gotta understand it is the way it is. And
yes, but that doesn't mean I have to like it.
You don't have to like it. You don't have to like it.
But you know what? For all the years that people were upset because the Broncos, old Broncos, did not get represented
in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You know how you got around that? You won Super Bowls. And then you started winning Super Bowls, and now all of a sudden there's been a flood of Broncos that have gotten in, and then more recognition for those that did come before that were overlooked,
right.
Guys like Floyd Little. So I guess the only way to shift that narrative is like the scene out of Major League. When Jake Taylor's saying, well, I guess there's only one thing left to do.
Yeah.
What's that?
Oh.
Go win the whole bleeping thing.
Yep.
And they got no choice.
That's right.
Got no choice. Got no choice. All right. No, I'm not crying. Stop with the stop crying, Evans. I'm not crying. I'm just.
I know. Just have something in your eye.
Just something in my eye. Some of my awesomeness is leaking out.
Yeah. Last time I saw somebody look like this, Paxton Lynch was sitting on the sideline.
No! Oh, what the heck? Let's do it again.
Yeah.
Here's a ball.
Yeah.
That's two.
One day.
Here's another text. QBs in the top 10. Don't live up to the hype because they go to bad teams. Bad teams flip QBs like Evans does plates at the buffet.
Ooh,
good call. Good call.
Especially under COVID, because you got to go up with a clean. You got to get a new clean plate. You can't bring an old plate up to the buffet area.
No.
Got to be a clean.
Good Lord, no.
Yeah.
What do you think we are, Neanderthals?
Right.
Come on now. Oh, there's nothing like. Round two, and you get that warm plate, fresh out of the dishwasher, dryer. Oh man,
just stack it full of meat
and pot stickers. Just, I think to me the beauty of the buffet is just being able to come up with combinations that no one would ever think of.
Right,
but you can do it. You know why?
You mix whatever you want.
It's a buffet.
Right.
If
it turns out not to be good, you just like, I'll just try something else.
Go get another fresh plate.
Right.
Let's do it again. It's just, I miss buffets.
Whoever invented like places, like Fogarachao.
Oh.
Who invented that? Brazilian.
Brazilian meat. Steakhouses?
Yeah. Just a Brazilian meat shop.
Oh, the meatballs. I don't know, but they deserve a Pulitzer.
That's right.
Right.
Some humanitarian.
Congressional Medal of Honor, something like that.
Something great.
Because that, what a concept. It was like people are sitting around going, all right, we'll give you the buffet. We'll give you the greatness of the buffet. How can we top a buffet?
Meat buffet.
A meat buffet. Where they don't even have to leave the table to get it.
Oh my, yeah.
So here, hold on a second.
Right, you're telling
me, all we're going to do is walk around the tables. People don't need to get up. We're just going to come around with different kinds of meats. With swords.
Yes.
And just give people meat until they can eat no more. Until they're literally sweating.
Do you think?
Jeez.
That's
next level stuff right there.
Because I don't think Brazil is as fat as America.
Oh, God, no.
I don't even think they probably have these. Like, this is Brazil getting over on us.
Do they have a Brazilian steakhouse in Brazil?
No.
No.
Of course not.
No.
They're not going to sit there and just, they're like, no, we'll get up to get our meal.
Right.
The Americans are like, bring me some more food. I need meat. Exhausted from all this walking. I don't walk from the pork.
I mean,
no, I don't walk from valet.
I mean, you gotta love the whole concept of, hey, look, why am I gonna have any mashed potatoes or salad and ruin the meat experience? Right?
Yeah.
God, what an idea.
It's a great idea.
That's just.
Every time I go to a place like that.
That's real men of genius right there.
Every time I go to a place like that, like, there's several places I go to, and I think to myself, how did I not think of this? Right?
A rotating meat bar.
Right.
Where they just bring you meat.
Yeah.
How do I not? How do I not?
You know, whenever somebody comes up with the next big idea, you're always like, ah, geez, why didn't I think of that?
Like Topgolf. How did I not think of Topgolf?
Right.
You just hit golf balls, random targets. Even if you suck, you're going to get in one of the random targets down low, you know, right off the... And you can participate in the game.
Yeah. I know.
What's the next big idea?
I don't know, but I don't know how they're going to top rotating meat.
Good point. Bacon bar.
Soda burger.
Soda burger.
That's the next big idea.
We had that years ago.
We had that years ago. We were ahead of our time on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. March Moore with text. We got a great text we'll get to. Just how much stock do we put in George Payton reportedly reaching out to Atlanta about the fourth pick? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Oh, man, Stick, I got to apologize.
What happened?
I take question mark very serious.
Yeah.
And when texters come up with really good questions, I feel bad if I don't pass them along and have you answer it.
Okay.
So this was one that I apologize to the person who sent it in because it's a great question. So this is a bonus question mark. Mark, what is your opinion of the 12 rebel soccer clubs planning to form a European Super League at the risk of not being allowed to play in the World Cup? It's a question that everyone's asking around the world. So I'd be remiss to not get your thoughts on it.
Well, here's the deal. When it comes to the Super League, don't care.
Not at all?
Not even a little bit. Yeah, let soccer boy run around over there in his Super League. Put on some tights. Maybe have a cape.
Make sure they have plenty of that magic water.
Yeah, magic water, some of that cool spray. And let them just go to town. Yeah, that's fine with me. Everybody got, well, Super League could lead here to the Super League of college football. Stop. You know, it already is. I mean, come on. There's a handful of teams. I mean, how much variation since we started doing the Final Four in college football, how much variation have we gotten? Ohio State's always in, right? Alabama's always going to be in. Clemson, right now, the way things are built. And then you got a rotating one. We'll let Notre Dame in every now and again or, you know, some other squad. Whatever it is. But come on. Like how much LSU gets in this year. All right, goodbye. Who's next? One spot open.
Yeah, I think we're already to the point where the super conferences have arrived in college sports. College football.
Yeah.
College basketball still has that room for the underdog. The little guy. But not college football. No. Good luck. The schools like CSU. I mean, good luck. I don't know how you do it.
Does anybody really care about super teams in Europe? Is that?
Oh yeah, this is a big deal. It's a big deal. Listen, I don't know how the rest of the world could be so wrong. They are, but this is what they care about.
Well, you know what? Thoughts and prayers to Europe on the super team.
So we get some ideas for what we call turf toe. So the whole genesis of this is that Patrick Mahomes says he's ahead of schedule from turf toe surgery. And I think that in fairness to Patrick Mahomes and anybody else that has turf toe, you got to come up with a name that just sounds more.
Oh, I got an idea.
Scary than turf toe.
Because there's somebody here that's really angry about me for not caring about Super League. What is it? Super League?
Super League.
super toe.
So is that what we call it now?
Super toe.
Super toe.
Oh, that's a good point. Be like a super, like a kicker, like a Tucker from Baltimore, right?
Right.
You call him super toe.
Right.
Yeah.
I used to play super toe. You didn't play super toe?
Super toe.
You didn't.
What is super toe?
Super toe never made it to Alaska?
It's probably just getting there.
What? Come on.
It's a long way off.
Those of us of a certain age, so super toe was,
a football with a little T on it?
Well, yeah. So what you'd get is you'd get the it was like, it looked like a board game, but then you set it all up. You set up the field, you set up the, little goalposts, and then you'd have a guy, a football kicker. You put the ball down and then you'd pop his head and leg would swing through and you try to kick field goals. Oh, hours of good fun.
No, I didn't.
You never played super toe?
I did not have super toe.
Guys, people out there, anybody play super toe?
We played NFL strategy.
I mean, NFL strategy. What is that?
It was a board game. It was awesome. Awesome board game.
How about we call it Jets toe? So bad it's painful.
Jets toe.
It's got to be something that sounds real medically.
Yeah, I
like use phalange. We include phalange. Something phalange. Phalange
acute.
Acute.
Acute phalange syndrome.
Oh, I like that. I like that. See.
Boom.
You know,
acute phalange syndrome.
Right. What sounds more like? Oh, wow. That's. I'm worried about Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, are you worried about him coming back from turf toe?
Yeah.
No. Would you be worried if he was trying to come back from
acute phalange syndrome?
Oh.
Boy, that sounds serious.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about hallux is the name of the big toe, and metatarsals are toe bones. Hallux metatarsal syndrome.
Hallux metatarsal syndrome.
That would get my attention.
Yes.
I'd be terrified if my quarterback or my running back was out with
hallux metatarsal syndrome.
Yep. All right, we're on to something here. Got to come up with something else other than turf toe.
Yeah.
How much stock do you put in, if any, Woody Page writing that the Broncos were among the first teams to reach out to Atlanta about trading up to the number 4 spot?
Mm.
Serious interest or George Payton just...
I don't...
Kicking tires.
Just to see what it would... Listen, you reach out just to see what it would take. I truly don't think that there is a big interest in moving up. I don't think the Broncos, in the current state of the franchise, with a quarterback who, let's face it, one, has been in two different offenses, two, didn't have an offseason to learn the second offense, three, that was still drafted, you know, in the second round, 40-something overall. And understanding the work that has to be done, you know, a lot of people look at starters and are just like, well, we've got most of our starters coming back. Well, you show me the team that makes it through an entire season with all your starters being intact. It's not going to happen. And quality of starters is an issue. Depth of quality of backups is an issue. So there's a big building process that needs to happen. You have to be able to overcome an injury or two along the way. And I just think that's the issue with this team. And I think George Payton, being a scout and being an evaluator of talent, knows that better than anybody. Understands that.
But I don't know if he thinks this way. I'm just kind of thinking out loud, but you're in a honeymoon period right now. You got a 6-year contract. Fan base is looking at you to be the savior.
Okay.
Extend the honeymoon. Pick a quarterback. You run the risk of souring, ending your honeymoon if you don't pick one and you run Drew Lock back out there.
I think because you have a six-year contract, you don't have to extend the honeymoon.
But what if...
Maybe 3 years from now.
Okay, but stereotypes become stereotypes based on the fact that they tend to be true, right?
Mm-hmm.
Clichés, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, what's the one of the more popular stereotypes when you talk about sports general managers? He wants to be able to hire his guy.
Correct.
He wants to have
his
coach.
Yeah.
His people.
His quarterback.
For NFL GMs, does that include his quarterback now?
Sure.
Are you truly your own GM until you've been able to pick your guy? You know, you always hear it. Hey, mm-hmm. That's not his guy.
Mm-hmm.
He inherited that guy.
Yep, you do.
That guy was there when he got here. So
my thought process, again, if you understand how football actually works, my understanding or my thought process would be, I just want to put a great team together. Right? And a great team will support even a mediocre quarterback and will be competitive. And so I'm not worried about where we got him, how we got him, who picked him. I'm worried about putting a great team together to support the players that we currently have.
We missed the most obvious one for the turf toe.
What's that?
Somebody just sent it in, simple, just said, Kerfoot.
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 I can't believe I didn't think about that.
Right? He's out with Kerfoot.
He's out with Kerfoot.
Yep. He's ahead of schedule from Kerfoot. Kerfoot, man.
Yeah. How many people have ended their career? Hey, Deion Sanders ended his career with Kerfoot.
Right? Kerfoot? Okay.
Thank you, Texter. Thank you.
By the way, a lot of Super Toe fans.
Oh, I know. I saw it.
Oh, God, I love our textures. You're the best.
Super Toe. Nobody came up with my NFL strategy. Nobody
played NFL strategy.
Was it only a thing in Alaska?
That must just be an Alaska thing.
Hmm.
Okay. All right. We'll come back to more of your texts. And if not Alex Smith, what exactly is the Bronco quarterback option, if not a draft pick? That's next. We are such children.
What's that?
You and I. The conversations we have during breaks. I mean, let's just share it, okay?
Okay.
So.
Okay.
So
what's
Mark,
going on?
So Mark says to me, now, Benny, you're going to have to go with this. So Mark says to me, he goes, hey, did you see that
little drone that they landed on and flew around on Mars yesterday?
I said, I think that's cool. And you're like, all that money we spend on space exploration, couldn't we spend it better somewhere else? I go, well, who knows, Mark? Maybe 500 years from now, you know, who knows? Maybe we're going to have to, you know, reach to the stars. You
right.
know, who knows, right?
Going to Mars.
Right. To which Mark said,
I saw the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger when they tried to go to Mars, or they went to Mars and didn't end well. No, that's when Quato came out of that dude's belly. Seen this movie before. Sharon Stone. Right. Never
Evil
ends
wife.
Well.
No.
Yeah, it never ends right. well when next thing you know, you're moving to Mars.
Right.
Everybody knows that.
Right.
You're close. Give them to me.
Yeah.
Now.
Different movie.
Yeah. What was that movie called? Do you remember?
I just had it. All right, hold on.
The Mars movie.
Arnold
goes to Mars.
Schwarzenegger. Mars. Total Recall.
Yeah. That's right. Total Recall.
So we start off having this, you know, serious conversation.
And it gets to Total Recall.
And it becomes Total Recall. It always comes back to
Arnold. Sweetheart, we're married.
Consider that a divorce. Oh, no.
uh, Like I said,
broke my headphones.
Like I said, we don't know if you're entertained. We're here to entertain ourselves. We're laughing. We're enjoying it. Our boss just weighed in.
Total Recall. Thank you, Raj.
What were we talking about?
Talk about.
Quato. That's awesome.
Stupidity. Oh, my headphones broke. I mean, this is just my day.
We're going to have Troy Rank on tomorrow. We can ask him about his mock draft. He's in the mock draft business now. He put a mock draft out. And he has the Broncos.
Oh, yeah.
Cecil's coming up with his first one. He's waiting until next week. Cecil only does one.
Oh, yeah. It's the mock draft of integrity, I believe.
But Troy has the Broncos moving up from 9 to 7 to take Justin Fields.
Wow.
He says this deal can be made, I believe, by surrendering a third this year and a second and a third in 2022.
To move up two spots when George Payton has done in his time in Minnesota, we talked about, like, all the second rounders that Eric Kendricks, a second rounder.
Dalvin Cook,
a second rounder. Daniel Hunter, a third rounder. I mean, they have made hay in those rounds with starters who become Pro Bowlers. You want to give up a second and next year's second and third?
So to move, let me see if I can
move
this
two
straight.
Spots.
So to move up two spots, you would be flipping first round picks, but then giving up a third this year and a second and a third next year? Boy, you got to really like him.
Right.
If you really like him, if you really, you know, I don't believe in picking quarterbacks that high, but
I like you a lot.
If you're in charge, and I trust George Payton to be a smart man, I think George Payton is well aware of the very, very, very shaky history of drafting quarterbacks in the top 10 the last 20 years. I think he's very aware of the terrible track record of trading up for quarterbacks in the top 10. I think he's aware of all that. So I don't think he would blindly rush in. Put it this way. I don't think he'd be like, I don't think he subscribes to the DMAC, pick a quarterback, any quarterback, it doesn't matter who it is, line of thinking. I think if he did it, it would be because the guy did his due diligence, and he really loves the guy. All right. I mean, you're here. That's your job. If you feel that way, go for it. But
are there any of these quarterbacks? Because nobody's even evaluated Trevor Lawrence because it's already, I mean, that's a foregone conclusion. Mm-hmm. So the only people who even, honestly, the only people who really even looked at Trevor Lawrence were the Jags, right? Anybody else really look at Trevor Lawrence?
Well, the Jets, when they had the inside track on Trevor Lawrence until they botched that.
Right. But all I'm saying is, are there any of the quarterbacks that are available that pass the tie on the doorknob test?
No.
Heavens no, right?
God no.
You're like, well, if you're studying any of the quarterbacks right now, no, it's like if somebody knocks on the door, come in. Just come on in. You know?
Mark, how many people right now who claim to have just a passing knowledge of college football?
Right.
Right? Just, you know, I follow it, but I'm not like crazy about it.
Right.
But I, you know, follow it just enough to keep me dangerous, right?
Right.
How many of those people a year ago knew anything about Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, never mind Trey Lance?
Right.
You knew about Trevor Lawrence, and you maybe half of them because of Ohio State knew Justin Fields.
Yeah, okay.
But everyone knew Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
These other quarterbacks, don't stop it. Nobody knew about these guys. Nobody knew. Which is why I say right now, mark the date, mark the time, mark the tape. there are going to be three or four quarterbacks in next year's draft, first round, that we are talking about, that ESPN's talking about, that all the prognosticators are talking about, breathlessly debating, three or four guys that you don't know anything about right now.
Correct.
You don't know them?
Well, yeah.
You don't recognize their names?
No.
Nothing?
No.
A year from now, there'll be household names.
Absolutely.
There's
not one quarterback right here. Now, I could see maybe taking your sweatshirt off because it gets a little warm in the room and you're in a T-shirt. There's not one guy in this group where all of a sudden you're sitting there shirtless watching the film.
Nope.
Not going to happen.
Although I think for Zach, I think Zach Wilson got you at least to take off your coat.
Yeah, but it was really cold out, so I wasn't shirtless. I guarantee you that.
Wasn't Quentin Nelson?
No. No.
That's next level right there.
Yeah. What are we talking about?
Top of the
Last time you played that, my headphone broke.
Shooby-dooby-doo.
London, Paris, music. Everybody talking about pop music. Talk about.
Yeah, thank you. We literally got 75 texts on saying Total Recall.
I know. Right.
All right. We're done. We'll be back tomorrow morning, bright and early, 6 a.m. In the meantime, we turn things over to Sandy and Orlando. Give them your undivided attention next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.